So Pentecost 2022, we're getting ready for confirmation in the pastorate on Wednesday. And some people mistakenly think that finally those hoodlums that are going to be confirmed will get the Holy Spirit. But really, we all receive the Holy Spirit on the day of our baptism. And so when it comes to the sacrament of confirmation, it's really more that we're doing. We're asking God to help us to live into what those gifts of the Holy Spirit really are. Instead of something in a kind of a dormant state, it helps us to become the kind of people that we're called to be. So when we celebrate the Feast of Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit to Mary and the disciples at that point in time, it's not an isolated event like we celebrate something that happened historically, but it's the beginning. Pentecost, the historical event of Pentecost, was the beginning now of the unfolding of the Spirit. So we talk about the birthday of the church, yes, but it now is how the church's mission becomes unfolded. And there are three signs that we heard in the scripture readings that are really significant. So the first one is when the Spirit came, there was this rushing wind. It was air, it was breath. And breath is a sign of life, huh? And so if something that's alive stops breathing, that's it. And so that breath, in fact, we hear in the gospel, Jesus breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. And so it's a sign of life. It's a sign of being full of God's Spirit. The second one is fire. And this is not fire that destroys things, but this is the fire of a passionate lover. I don't know how many times you ever thought about the fact that God is a passionate lover and that God is jealous of you. God's jealous of you. And as long as we're alive, God never gives up on us. God never stops pursuing us like a passionate lover. And the third thing that happens, and we heard in the first reading that Daryl got through all the names pretty well today, about the whole thing about languages. Did you ever think about the significance of that? So the idea of it is here are all these people from all different places, and all of a sudden, they can understand each other. Didn't say they agree with each other. It said they understand each other. And so it's a sign of what the Spirit does in our lives is it empowers us and enables us to do things that we cannot do on our own. What things? Things like unity and peace and understanding and reconciliation. Those things all but disappeared during COVID and during the election. And we as Christians should be spanked. Myself included. I should have been praying more for the Holy Spirit to come at that point in time because there was more division, more nastiness than I've ever experienced in history before. And in a word, we lost our spirit. We lost our spirit. We think we have to do it all ourselves. We can't. We can't. And so when we celebrate Pentecost, not as a historical event, but this beginning of the mission of the church, and here's just a little news flash in case you didn't know this, the mission of the church is not going to church. If you think that that's why Jesus came to earth, is so people go to church, wrong. Wrong answer. Church helps us to be open to the Spirit. Church guides us and opens us up. But church is not the be-all and end-all, huh? And so it really is, in a sense, us coming to understand what it means to have everyday Pentecost. Everyday Pentecost. How does the Spirit unfold in our lives? Now, how does that happen? I thought you'd never ask. We hear Jesus says, sums it up very succinctly, very simply, if you love me, you do what I tell you. Period. It's not any harder than that. If you love me, you'll do what I tell you. Parents who have a hard time with kids, sometimes you say, don't you love me? Yes. Well, it sure doesn't look like it. The same thing is true with God, huh? So Pentecost reminds us that the Spirit really comes from a deep abiding love, a deep abiding love. Next week, this is a little quiz. Next week, do you remember what the next big feast we celebrate next weekend? Anybody? Not you. No, not you. Trinity Sunday. Trinity Sunday. And so usually, for most Catholics, they don't know anything more about the Trinity than Father, Son, Holy Ghost, whoever eats the fastest gets the most. But Trinity Sunday, I was reading and preparing for that, and it ties in with Pentecost really well, is that this scripture scholar said, if we look at the Trinity, God the Father, that's kind of, that's outside of us. God the Son is kind of like God beside us, alongside of us. But God the Spirit is within us. Is within us. That's why Jesus said, we're going to send you the Advocate, and if you love me, we'll come and we'll make our dwelling in you. Within you. And so, it's our guide, it's our Advocate, it's our direction, it's our peace. It's what helps us form our desires and our loves. If we have no room for God in our life, there is no love. There is no love. So here's a little nugget to think about. This is why we need church. Not because God needs church. God doesn't need church. And we say around here, tongue in cheek, but seriously, don't just go to church, be church. You can go to church and never be open to the Spirit, and all the things that you hear and the prayers that you rattle through are noise. They're worth nothing. And that's possible. It's possible to go to church and be like this. By God, nobody's going to really tell me what to do. But I'm here. Okay, that's not being open to the Spirit, because the Spirit transforms us. Faith is the only avenue for unity and peace and understanding. It's the only avenue for that. It's the only way it can happen. And people get afraid of that because they think it means that we all have to agree. It does not mean anything about agree. It means that the only way we can have dialogue and come together and have these conversations and respect each other is through faith. Only through faith can people come together. Only in faith can people really communicate. Only in faith do we ever come to an understanding. That's why division within the church is absolutely satanic. Because you see, as I said several times the last couple years, division has no place in here. This is the only place that people who don't agree on a lot of things come together and worship God and can be one. It's very hard to do out there. We're supposed to transform out there, but this is not the place for that. This is the place where the Spirit helps us to understand people with disparate viewpoints, helps us to try to not demonize people, not to judge them, not to withdraw, not to run away, not to avoid things. How do I know that? Because Jesus didn't do that. Jesus didn't avoid or run away or condemn or withdraw. He got right in the thick of things. In fact, he went after the people that he disagreed with the most and had conversations. That's a sign of the presence of the Spirit. So that's why without the Spirit, our prayers and our practices or our preaching is just noise. It's not the fault of the prayers or the preaching or the practices. It's our fault because we're not open. So every Mass, you ought to come into church saying to yourself, Lord, what do you want to tell me today? What message are you going to touch my heart with today? What hardness of my heart do you want to soften today? I guarantee you, if you start to make that a practice in your life, you'll never have a boring Mass, and you're never going to leave saying, well, I didn't get anything out of that. You ask God to open you up. Where do I need conversion in my life? I think I've shared this story before, but it stays in the back of my mind because it was such a powerful one. The story about the pastor who got into the pulpit and he started out and he said, the message isn't getting through. And the people thought he was referring to something wrong with the sound system. And he looked around again and he said, the message isn't getting through. And they started to get a little nervous, and as happens in church, they'll start coughing and hacking, and because they kind of wonder what's going on. And finally he said, "The message isn't getting through. The signal is jammed." And he left the pulpit, and he walked down the aisle, and he walked out of church, and he never came back. It wasn't the sound system. It was the people. The message couldn't get in. I think that is a sign of things that are happening in our culture today. We're kind of like Teflon, the original non-stick surface. Nothing tends to get through. I think Pentecost, any day, but particularly Pentecost, is a great time to ask questions like, where in my life is there no understanding? Or is there no forgiveness? Or is there no reconciliation? Or is there no dialogue? Or is there no peace? And that's when you pray probably the most powerful prayer you can ever pray in your life. Come, Holy Spirit. If you got problems in your marriage, come, Holy Spirit. If there's somebody that you're mad as heck at, come, Holy Spirit. If your kids are driving you crazy, come, Holy Spirit. If you're concerned and frightened about the world, come, Holy Spirit. But if you pray that prayer consistently, put on your seatbelt. Because things will happen. If we don't have the Spirit, we don't have hope. If we don't have hope, we are doomed in this life as well as the next. So pray to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes to us and opens us up, and this person that every time they go by, my blood pressure goes up, all of a sudden later on, I find myself able to have a conversation with them. That's not your doing. That's the Holy Spirit who converts us and heals us and reconciles us. Not something outside of me, not something alongside of me, but within me. Without the Holy Spirit, we cannot do that. That's why the church gives us this wonderful prayer, come Holy Spirit. Fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit and we will be created and you will renew the face of the earth. Come, Holy Spirit.